We are going to be moving into a series about what it means to be a disciple and what it means to be a part of the discipleship of others. So if you've been attending our church recently, we have been in a series that Pastor Brian called Gospel Basics. So we just went through the gospel of Jesus Christ. What does that mean when we say share the gospel? Believe the gospel. What does that mean? So we've been talking about that over these last, I think it was 6 or 7 weeks. And it's been so good to just kind of get a gauge and just a refresher on how clear the Bible is about the gospel message. And so if you've been a part of that, it's been such a joy. We're going to move on to discipleship. And so we're going to be essentially taking this time, this next month, to kind of have a spiritual, all of life, really, gauge. We're going to gauge our lives and the way that we are following Jesus. So last week, as Brian wrapped up that sermon series, he said, which was so encouraging because I had been considering the one that's very similar, the verse that's very similar to this in Ephesians that he mentioned as well, but he mentioned this verse in Philippians 1:27. It says this, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." Paul is writing to this church in Philippi, and he is so, like, oh, he wants so badly for them to know what it's like to follow Jesus. Just after this, he's going to go and share, "Look, I accomplished everything I set out to accomplish, but nothing compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord." And so this exhortation to the Philippian church, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's who we want to be. There is no greater love, like we talked about at VBS, there's no greater love than this, that a man would give his life for his friends, right? There's no greater love than the love that God showed in sending his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. There's no greater love than there's no greater calling on our lives than to receive the love of God, to love God in return with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And Jesus' words to his disciples near the end of his time on earth was this, "A new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you." This is the kind of church we want to be. These are the kind of people we want to be. This is, if we come before the Lord one day. See, I did not golf much growing up, but since moving to Big Timber, our golf course is amazing, and we have some golfers on in our youth group, and we're on the golf team. And so for my job, sometimes I have to go golfing with students. It's really hard. But I have this goal to break 40 in 9 holes. I've never done it before. I want to break 40. So hit the ball less than 40 times in 9 holes. That's the goal. Never been able to do it. Okay. I've shot 40 3 times. Ridiculous. But I really want to do that. Okay. But if I get one day, I come before the Lord and I have this goal, which I think personally it's a good goal. It's fun. I want to challenge myself and push myself. But if I come before God one day and like, how did you use the opportunities I gave you, the skills, the gifts and talents that I gave you to use for my glory, to serve and love other people? And I go, "I broke 40. That's not going to mean a whole lot. And I'll look back and, wow, what would it have been like to have my priorities in line with the gospel, to have my priorities in line with the kingdom of Jesus?" And so that's what we're going to talk about over these next few weeks. Where are our priorities at? And not just what we would say or what we know it they should be, but how is it reflected in our life and the way we live? So we're going to take just a tire gauge to these different areas of our discipleship, different areas of following Jesus over these next 4 weeks. So that's what we're going to do. We've got 10 minutes left of service, so I'm going to just speed run through this sermon, and I am so excited for what God's going to do over this next month, but I'm also so excited for this ice cream party, so we'll get through this. But when I talk about this, often many of you come in with like, man, it was a great break to have the kids being watched by someone else for a weekend, and it was really great, but man, it is heavy. Life is full. I am going. And then I'm going to come to church and I'm going to hear this thing about discipleship, which I know is what I should be doing, but you're going to give me a list of 10 more things I have to do and add into my schedule and fit around the craziness of life. That's often what it can sound like, which is such a tragedy. So often, we are just bombarded with the knowledge, the self-talk that we are not doing enough, we are not good enough, and we need to be doing more, we need to be doing more. And there is this theme throughout Scripture. You could just say it's the theme of Egypt, or the theme of empire, or the theme of this world shown all throughout the Old Testament, all through Scripture, as this thing that stands in opposition to God's kingdom coming to this earth. I was going to read all of Exodus chapter 5 because it's so funny and so true, but also so horrible, the context of it. But what's happening in Exodus chapter 5, so Moses, God calls Moses to go before the Pharaoh of Egypt and set and proclaim to Egypt, God has spoken to me, and you need to set the people free. But Pharaoh's heart is hardened, and this is what he said. First he asks, who is the Lord that I should obey him? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. And then in chapter 4, the king of Egypt said, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work. Then Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are numerous, and you're stopping them from working. Down in verse 8, they are lazy. That's why they're crying out under this oppression to go and sacrifice and worship their God. Verse 9, make them work harder. Verse 11, he makes it even harder. He makes their job as bricklayers in Egypt even harder. He said, go get your own straw, but your work will not be reduced at all. Verse 13, complete the work required of you for each day. Verse 14, why haven't you met your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before? Time and time again, Pharaoh, just get to work. Verse 17, lazy, that's what you are, lazy. That's why you keep saying, let us go and worship the Lord. Now get to work. There is this theme throughout Scripture of this empire. See it in the Bible, in Egypt, we see it in Babylon, we see it in Rome, that values money, power, pleasure, and always at the expense of other people. And so often when we talk about discipleship, what I hear from someone teaching on it, I hear, get to work. I hear, you are lazy. I hear, why haven't you met your quota? Why didn't you spend as much time as you said you would in the word this morning or in prayer? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? And it's such a tragedy that the enemy, not the people preaching, I think they do a beautiful job, but so often what I hear, what I'm conditioned to hear, what I'm conditioned to think, I think how the enemy twists this is to sound just like But Jesus' invitation is not just to do more. It's to live different, live in a different way. And we're going to talk about the cost of discipleship this month, because it does cost us something. But this is Jesus' invitation. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." This is the invitation to discipleship. To be a disciple means to be like an apprentice, be a follower, to be someone who seeks after Christ and is itching to learn from him and hang on to his every word. How did Jesus do it? How do we take his yoke upon us? One that is from the God who is gentle and lowly in heart. That gives us rest for our souls. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. We have so many expectations from all different directions of how to live. And that's because if you are not intentional about who you are discipled by, you're going to be discipled by any noise, any voice that meets that longing in your heart, even a little bit, for peace. And soon you'll find yourself shaped and disfigured and your priorities out of alignment. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit more this month. And really what it means to be a disciple. We're going to get to the Great Commission, where Jesus says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." That's our goal. That is our aim. That is our primary purpose as followers of Jesus, in terms of what we do in the world, what mark we leave. Go, therefore, and make disciples. But in order to do that, we need to know how to be disciples. So please be a part of this sermon series this month. Love to have you join with us as we as a church take those gauges of these different areas in our life so that we might become more like Jesus and learn better how to follow him in our daily life here in Big Timber and everywhere we go. So that's what we're going to be talking about this month. Would you join me in prayer as we continue with the rest of our VBS celebration today? Lord God, what a joy and such an honor, Lord, to just know you and to be with your people. Lord God, we thank you that you are here with us when we gather. Lord, that you, the creator of all things, is present with us, Lord. Lord, and you are a God who sees us. You are a God who knows. Lord, you are a God who sees that theme of Egypt, empire, at work in our lives. That voice that says, do more, be better. But Lord, you are the God who came, who humbled himself as a man, humbled himself even to the point of death on the cross. So that, Lord, you could invite us to come to you when we feel labored and heavy laden, with the promise, Lord, that you will give us rest. So God, would you give us wisdom? Lord, would you work in our hearts through this next month so that, Lord, we might become more like you. This church might become more like your heart in this community. Lord, that we might see Big Timber become more like heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.